Tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
It works better when you plug it in. And when you turn it on.
Check, 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 check.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. What's the over-under on me spilling this cup of liquid? It almost happened earlier. I didn't say anything.
As in minutes into the show or amount you spill?
At any point.
What are we...
I mean, it's been years since you spilled
something. I mean, if I knock this cup over, it's all gone. It's not like I spill a little bit out of a cup.
It's a short paper cup. Keep it away from your computer.
Yes, do.
Only about three different electronics over there that can get soaked.
Well, that and the super high-tech custom-wired... station
I'm not,
you're sitting at.
You should never bring a cup into a studio. I'm violating rule.
It's rule number one.
Anybody, like if they really wanted to crack the whip, I could be fired immediately. But I had a dragon a little bit. Had a Red Bull in there that I've been waiting, which I cannot believe is still there. I've had it over there for over a week. You guys had this big draft night party. I was sure it would be gone. It's still there. However, the can, like there was a little bit of goo. You know, sometimes you get fridge goo. We've all got fridge goo. I mean,
yeah, but yeah, what color was the goo?
A dark brown.
Oh.
Perhaps it was probably
yellowy,
one of the wing sauces.
I wonder if that was the General Tso's wing.
A little bit yellow, a little dark brown, really bad looking. So at first I was like, well, I just cleaned the can off. But then, like, my mind started playing out scenarios where it ends with me in the hospital signing over my
kidneys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think? We've got like some biosafety level 4 experiment going on in the kitchen.
Things happen in fridges.
At the new annex here at Fan Run.
I found a cup, and so I poured it in there, and then I brought it in here.
Why don't you chug it and get your motor running?
Because I don't want to burp. I feel like I'm about to burp anyway. I don't want to be burping continuously. Like, yeah, you don't.
Oh, yeah, not you on air. Consummate professional.
A little gas there. So, yeah, I mean, you guys had a good time last night. I listened to the draft cast, to Mark Hucker's draft cast on YouTube, on Fan Run TV, and I thought you guys killed it, man. It was like... It was surprisingly good. Not that I thought it was going to, suck, but...
Oh, we should have done a Will It Suck on that.
That's just mean. So mean.
If we had, I probably would have said maybe.
I have faith in you guys.
If you had told me that Marcus was going to take the lead, I probably would have said probably.
No, he did very well last night.
But no, he did very
not
well.
Not only take the lead.
You did well. There was a solid chemistry between you two. You had, like, prepared more than I had even imagined. I mean, they had sound clips and audio and guests, and it was, as David Lee Roth would say, a stellar production.
Well, I appreciate it, Russell.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, after our show, Tucker and I spent some time combing through the, 1,100-plus sound files and the DHD to find some NFL bites. I think we found a few good ones.
Yeah, a few good ones.
Kind of bring up the production level of the broadcast.
Yeah.
And then they carried the rest.
Yeah. And isn't anything Fan Run? I mean, there were mistakes made at different points.
That was the first time we'd done that. Go app only with live stream, and we had multiple cameras. We had the room cam. We had this cam. It was
Tiger Team was in their element, Russ.
So pretty much everybody was here too, except for me and Sam, I think.
You, Sam, and Miller.
Yeah, Miller was not here.
probably for the better.
Maybe so.
I
don't watch the draft.
I understand that Brett was in rare form. Maybe the funniest I've ever heard John and Bob this morning was like describing Brett's antics.
He had some antics.
And how obnoxious he was. That was really funny this morning.
He wasn't reading the room. Wasn't realizing that, you know.
And apparently mild-mannered Houston Kress, who I've never seen go off on anybody. And I've known you for at least 10 years now, right? Over 10 years. And I've never seen you get redneck mad at anybody. And apparently you just bit Brett heads off, bit his head off last night.
Dude, like, it's the one thing in the draft that I don't want to – no one likes it. Don't spoil picks, right? We're all out there. We're watching together. We're watching the same feed, the same TV.
You're streaming, so you're a little bit behind.
A little bit behind.
Yeah. And none of us – we talked about it before the draft started. We weren't going to –
I was hardly on my phone. If I wasn't retweeting the feed, like, I just wasn't even – because that's what happens.
We were just hanging out together, eating wings and watching the draft.
I was
watching
not on
draft.
My phone at all.
And this has happened in years past. You got guys like Rapoport, Schefter. Yeah. They've been killed for this. Because people are like, wait, I'm watching. I kind of want – you know, it's the excitement, the drama. And he did it once. We were all like, all right, okay, that's enough. Two times, three times, four. By the fifth time – it took me five times,
three
Russell.
Three times a lady.
Once.
I was just like, dude – knock it off.
That's not — you didn't say knock it off from what I heard.
I did not say that.
I was told that you sounded a lot — you were using some of my regular vocabulary words.
I dipped into your repertoire there, your bag, as they say.
Well, I mean, he just would — it's not that he wouldn't take the hint. Like, you explicitly told him before the draft started, hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to ruin the picks. We're all watching this. We all want to be surprised together. So he immediately violates that.
Yeah.
And then after you guys said, like, okay, maybe he didn't take it seriously, maybe he didn't hear it, whatever, you guys like, hey, stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. And he just keeps doing it.
Kept doing it.
He wanted to do it in here. We wouldn't let him.
Yeah, then he comes in here. He escapes me.
He's going to get on the War Room show.
Well, he didn't escape you. You told him to GTFO, basically.
Well, new management told him to get in the – just to go.
Yeah. Well, these guys needed a break, and then we needed people to fill in.
But he started doing it on the cast.
Oh, no. We shut him down quick, thankfully. He didn't actually reveal any picks, not that I'm aware of.
Wait
but,
a second, buddy.
A little Hollander, man. A little – granted, I've spent – probably the least amount of time around him of like anybody around here. So
I've only been around him on like two occasions.
He's always struck me as a not rock the boat guy. I know he gets a little rowdy on air sometimes and carried away arguing with Marcus or whatever, but just in person, like, I always thought to hang out with that he would be pretty laid back and chill.
He was until he found the On Three. I don't know if maybe he has those like favorited or if they come as notifications. Yeah. And so the first two times, he's like, On Three has him early. On Three has him early. And we're like, good. Stop looking.
Yeah, if you want to look, just you know, look.
Sit over there quietly.
But then he'd get excited, and we'd start talking about.
You get excited.
We'd start talking.
I know something you don't know. Right. I know.
We're discussing, like, oh, who do you think they'll pick? And they'd throw out some names, and he'd be like, I think it's going to be Joe Alt. And we're just looking at him like, dude.
I would have been really pissed, too. Because you're pissed off, first of all, as a Titans fan, that they got our guy. But he ruined — that's one of the ones he —
I don't know.
That was the first one, yeah.
Was it? Okay. Yeah.
I think I even said — I was like, we're not doing —
I don't even
that.
Know if he said the name out loud. He just looked at his phone and was like, oh no. Ah, and we're all like, well, okay.
Just sit outside if you want to look at your phone.
Well, I noticed Schefter, because after that one, I'm watching, and of course I'm getting all anxious about the Titans pick, but he did that basically for Malik Nabers, where he comes on and you knew he knew, but it was weird. He was like, there's been some speculation that maybe the Giants are going to go defense with this pick, but it doesn't sound like that's what they're going to do. So he clearly knew, but it's like,
yeah,
he did that thing where he's got to tell you that he knows without telling you exactly what it is.
Which, he's Adam Schefter. I kind of assume that's going to be the deal. But he didn't spoil it.
And then
some of us are not trained in that art.
It was a fun time.
And then the Titans picked at number 7. And after they took Alt, of course, that sucked, man. because we really thought the Titans were going to get him, and we had all talked ourselves into it being a great pick. And all right, finally, this left tackle thing is solved. And we heard some, you know, maybe crazy Jim Harbaugh's going to do it, but probably not. And so I immediately pivot to Neighbors and thinking, okay, well, we're going to take Malik Neighbors, and yeah, the left tackle is still a question mark, but now all of a sudden we're going to have weapons everywhere. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be one of the more stacked skill position teams in the league. And then he immediately goes off the board. So now I'm kind of – and I told you guys last night, Tucker, that by the time – the seventh pick came in and it was clear that they weren't going to be trading back. I had gotten to where some of our fan run brethren are. And so, you know, Joe Rexroad hinted at it yesterday here on the show. The hell with it. Just take Bowers.
Yeah.
That was kind of where I was.
Ryan was dying for Bowers, right?
Yeah, he was bellowing dying. Bowers.
Well,
I was still hoping that maybe they might take,
say it, Tucker.
Say it. Yeah.
Fashanu, yeah.
Fashanu.
I would have taken him over Latham.
He's a left tackle.
Yeah, out of preference.
Well, they take J.C. Latham out of Alabama, a guy who has not played left tackle since high school. Two-year starter at Alabama, did not miss any starts, very durable, huge guy, checks off all the measurables, right? Tall, super long arms, huge hands,
if he gets
strong
to say, yeah.
As an ox. And the thought is that you've got the best offensive line coach in football now in Bill Callahan, who evidently says this was the top guy on his board. I don't know. It seems like something pretty convenient to say after the pick is made. But anyway, the hope is that you can mold him into a left tackle. That's what Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan say last night, that they've drafted him for is to be a left tackle. Rand Carthon also admitted somewhat sheepishly that if it doesn't work out, he can play right tackle and they can do something else on the left side. That doesn't exactly fill you
Why
with
would you say that?
Great confidence, but he did say that.
Not real good at the post. They need to work with him.
The post kind of mistake.
The media appearances after these picks.
Well, just projecting absolute confidence.
Yeah.
You can't – there's some things you got to keep to yourself, Rand, in this media game. But they took Latham, and now we'll see how it works out. My take with the boys last night was, look, if we are sitting here in November and another Titan season has been blown up because of inadequate left tackle play and we can't keep Levis healthy or he just doesn't have time to make plays. If Levis sucks, he sucks. That's one thing. But if he isn't even given an opportunity because of bad offensive line play, something we have seen play out for two consecutive seasons with the Tennessee Titans, if that happens for a third year in a row because J.C. Latham can't play left tackle, then I think Rand Carthon should be fired. He won't, because I think Amy loves him for some reason, and they're not going to keep shuffling the deck, so to speak. But I would fire him because – this is, again, it's blown up two consecutive seasons of football for you when you probably could have made the playoffs if you could have just protected your quarterback even a little bit, and they couldn't. And now they had an opportunity to fix that, you would think. And, you know, you can't do anything about the Chargers taking alt, I suppose. But there were certainly other guys in there who've played left tackle. There were options that were taken later in the round. And you chose to go this direction, so I guess that's a very long way of saying it better work.
Yeah. But there is a lot of, you know, you talk about the measurables with him. You know, I read up about it, and you watch video. I mean, if he gets his hands on a pass rusher, they're done. He's freakishly strong.
And I think we all feel confident he'll be well coached. I do think, worst case scenario, you've got a guy who can fit somewhere on that offensive line. If it doesn't quite work out at left tackle, I mean, he can play both guard spots. You know that. He could probably play right tackle. You're still left with, obviously, that crippling hole at left tackle that has doomed you.
And I think free agency's helped out a lot, too, with this offensive line. You know, you get Cushenberry in there, which is a huge upgrade from 270-pound Aaron Brewer, who is now in Miami.
But was he like 5'10"?
He's little.
Yeah.
Too little to be playing that position.
Way too little.
But, yeah, you got to fix that left tackle position because that's plagued Tennessee for 2 years now.
But we – I mean, we still – the Titans don't even make the top five. Like, what the hell were you thinking?
Oh, no.
Kind of picks.
I think they make the top five. I think it gets a little bit overplayed because the immediate next pick was the what the hell you were thinking. And it was like watching on TV, you're sitting there as a Titans fan trying to digest the J.C. Latham pick, and almost immediately it just gets buried in the avalanche of takes that is the Michael Penix getting taken eighth by the Falcons pick, which is the one that's getting the most coverage today.
So I think I asked you, did you see the video? And I'm not absolutely certain that Blank knew the GM was going to.
It looked like the GM went rogue.
That's the video of the night, I think, coming out of the draft. Is it Terry Fontenot?
Fontenot. Yeah.
The Falcons GM explaining to Arthur Blank what exactly he has done.
A lot of hand motioning to
defensive.
No.
Yeah, a lot of defensive body language.
The way that the draft worked out, the best edge rusher in the, you know, arguably, one with the highest ceiling was just right there. It was who they'd been mocked to pick, the Turner kid from Alabama.
That's who I had them taking.
And Penix on most mock drafts was a little bit down. There were other quarterbacks ahead of him.
Everybody just went ham with the quarterback thing last night. Yeah.
You either got one or you don't, man.
They're in high demand.
Quarterback desperate. Sure. It's a tough spot to be in. Tough spot to be in for Missouri tonight. Tony Vitello so showing his teeth. He wants blood right now, and I'm here for it.
Well, Billy Barrels hit one to the river last night.
Whew. He hit one that scraped off the moon also, 43-degree launch angle.
The track man couldn't –
couldn't calculate the distance.
Do you know why? Because it went so high that the track man lost it.
Yeah. What, 109 was its exit?
Mm-hmm. Absurd to hit a home run with that launch angle.
Less a baseball swing, more a golf swing.
Yeah.
What Billy Amick is doing right now. But
Burke does that as well almost.
Yeah, they can both dig him out really, really well.
And, man, if they get a hold of it.
SEMO's first one. He kind of dug that one out, too.
I love SEMO.
Game two tonight at 6:30. Get this rain out of here, man.
I think it's pretty good the rest of the way.
It's clearing up, but a little wet out there. We will have we have a pair of tickets to the game. We're going to give those away.
Wow.
When we come back. You want to go see Drew Beam with the Drive Mojo? You know, he was on the show earlier this week with a great interview. Go back and check that in the podcast if you missed it. And the last time we had a player on, it was SEMO, and he hit two home runs that night. So, Drew Beam, I'm going to go ahead and predict, will be wheeling and dealing tonight for the Big Orange. We'll talk some Tennessee baseball trivia question. Get your dialing fingers ready. We'll do that when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Coming to you from the new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Many a White Claw was consumed responsibly here last night. Of course, you could pick up a 12-pack of their original variety pack or try some of the new flavors, their vodka soda combo, wherever you get White Claw. Made pure, please drink responsibly. White Claw Seltzer. Getting you ready for a big weekend. Of course, Tennessee got their baseball series started off with a ho-hum, what, a 10-1 win last night?
10-1, yes.
Yes.
Six home runs, I believe, in the game.
But man, I was really hoping Burke could have extended his hit streak and ended the game there in the bottom of the seventh.
But Cannon Peebles going yard for the first time this year.
Good to see. Even better to see was the teammates' reaction to it. That was awesome. They put out another video of just that play and some alternate shots. That was
probably
the
best one.
Yeah, he was excited.
So Burke's 31-game hit streak is over.
Where's that rank all time?
It was longest in school history.
He broke Condridge's streak.
No, I was talking about nationally. Oh. I wonder what the record is.
Up next, Tennessee looks to secure their sixth straight SEC series win with a victory in Game 2 tonight. First pitch is slated for 6:30 p.m., and we've got a pair of tickets to give away to that one right now. Simo hit his program-leading 20th home run of the season. Of course, he and Blake Burke have surpassed the all-time record. They're doing their own little Maguire Sosa thing this year as they chase down that thing, although Simo's opening up a pretty big lead here. He is on a tear. 20 home runs for Simo. That puts him four shy of the all-time season record. For a pair of tickets to the game tonight at Lindsey Nelson. These are good seats. Shout out to Maryville Will and Mrs. Maryville Will. They had a great time. Showed me some pictures from the game last night. Who holds the single season all-time home run record? 865-288-3131. Your number if you want to go to the game tonight. Be the first caller with the correct answer there. Who holds the all-time single season home run record for Tennessee baseball, which is almost assuredly about to fall. 865-288-3131. Yeah, man. Simo is on a tear right now. Just bombs away anytime he gets up. And that was another thing that Drew Beam said earlier that was like so enlightening, I thought, was, you know, people were getting on Kentucky for continually pitching to him and giving him the opportunity to hit that third dinger. So he joined the three home run club up there in Lexington over the weekend. But what's the alternative? You've got 2-1. You're going to walk the bases loaded to pitch to Blake Burke? And you're going to walk him as well, pitch to Billy Amick?
That's why it's so perfect, really.
I mean, that was the jam. I was talking to a caller at the jam at Kentucky got in. You know, they had first base was open when Simo came up late in that game.
Yeah, but like he said,
yeah,
but put Burke up there. Great idea.
Put the number, you know, the guy with who's leading the conference in batting average.
I think you in that situation, if I can't fault Mingione because I'd rather go righty righty with Simo than, you know, pitching to Blake Burke with the bases loaded. But didn't work out.
We create a lot of problems for people at the plate, especially as some of these other guys down the lineup start to come on a little bit.
What's my guy Cal Stark hitting right now, Tucker?
I got it. You want it?
271.
268. You were close.
Stark goes yard last night with an epic three-run bomb as well. So he's playing well. Are we peaking here? I mean, it's hard to believe that. I guess you could get a little bit more pitching at some point, but
we got to get our pitching and our bull over the next between now and tournament time. We
important to remember too, Missouri not the best opponent.
Okay.
So
okay.
Although I will say that their starter had a couple calls go against him. He was actually pitching pretty well.
I mean, are you guys not interested in seeing some arms out of that bullpen a little bit more?
I'm almost to the point in the season where
we're not going to get any help from them?
No, I mean, like SEC tournament, yeah, but right now it's almost kind of like let's tighten up what we got to work with.
Yeah. No, I think that we've got some good arms in that bullpen. I think that it would be nice to see Phillips establish himself a little bit more. And then it feels like A.J. Russell is probably destined for the bullpen if and when he comes back. So you got to figure that's a pretty nice. I almost wonder if he can get back, and they say he started throwing again, but if he can get back here in a couple of weeks, could he fall into the role that Chase Burns had?
That's what I was wondering.
Last year, or he comes in throwing heat out of the bullpen. I don't think you can count on that, but if it happens, whew, that would be nice.
Be really nice. I'd like to see Phillips get more work because I think we're gonna need him. Regional, super regional time.
Yeah, you're gonna need everybody. A few of these guys, especially for like matchup dependent, tight game type stuff.
But what would you rather have? Just be crushing the ball like we are now, and pitching not as good as it has been the past couple of years, or You know, like last year, we didn't have a whole lot of bats. We had a crazy pitching. I just like the fact we're never out of a game, man.
Yeah.
Like we were down, what, six runs?
I don't know. I think so much of it comes down to matchups. And, you know, we ran into LSU in Omaha. We just got lumped on their side of that bracket, which kind of stunk. And if we had been able to get Paul Skeens, it's probably us.
Yep.
Cutting down the nets, if I can cross sports metaphors, last year. But it wasn't, and we'll see what happens this year. But it does feel like this team is blessed so far. Things are falling into place. Tony seems to be pressing the right buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the A.J. Russell injury, so I knock on wood. That's going to be handy to have these wood tables here. I don't have look around forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if that's the worst thing that happens luck-wise, bad luck-wise this year, then I can live with that, especially if he comes back.
Which it sounds like he's projected to. It's just a cautiously, carefully.
So how do we feel about the Friday? I think was it Stamos?
Mm-hmm.
They bring Causey in from.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost but like, it's hey, we're going to give you the start,
yes.
And we're going to make a decision very quickly on if you stay or if you come out.
Who did Barnes do this with? We had a basketball player. It just wasn't very good starting, but when Barnes would start, it was within the past couple of years.
Do that with Urosh a little bit.
He'd bring him in, like, didn't start him, and he got a lot better. It was one of the basketball.
Lamonte, I feel like there's – It's a good analogy. There are a couple of guys like that who just play a little bit better coming off the bench. But to your point, Houston, I think it's just, all right, Stamos, it's your opportunity.
Right.
And if you go in there and it's and like last night and you do well, we'll leave you in there for 3 or 4 innings. If you go out there and it is not going well, we will not hesitate at all. And literally, we will pull you after 8 pitches, which is what happened last week at Kentucky. And we're fine with either way.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I mean,
this is just not, you can't get your feelings hurt at this level.
No, and Stamos, if he's got good stuff, yeah, leave him in there. But it's nice to have a guy who you can bring in that can go to, I don't know, what's Causey's max? Has he touched 100 this year? Pitches? I know he's been in like the high 80s and 90s.
I want to say he got up there last week against Kentucky.
So who's our, do we have a flamethrower anymore? That's the weirdest part, too, is for past several years, we just had dudes throwing. 95. Everybody threw 95 plus.
Not that we've seen a lot. I think a couple of the younger guys in the midweek have touched 99, 100. Sneed's around, what, 97, 98?
Where's Phillips at? Is he a mid-high 90s guy?
Phillips is, yeah, he's 97, 98, 99 probably.
Yeah, I mean, we got some hard throwers on this team, and A.J. Russell is one of those guys too when he comes back. So I like Causey and Stamos for right now on the Friday night thing. And as we discussed with Drew Beam earlier in the week, I mean, let's be honest. He is the ace. We do have that guy, a guy that we're comfortable throwing out there. If you know, if it's a winner take all, I mean, this is it's Drew Beam, right? And
yeah,
we get to see him tonight. I would imagine that he will be amped up, ready to go, and I would anticipate a pretty stellar effort out of him this evening. So. Shout out to everybody who went out there last night. I would imagine a good crowd out there tonight. I'm going to be in the house tomorrow for the noon game.
I will be there as well.
Hopefully, we'll have the broomsticks out tomorrow.
Well, no, I'd like to go with you sometime, cover the game. Could sit in the tent with you and all the rest of the baseball nerds.
That's a good way to get invited.
What?
Calling them baseball nerds.
Winning friends and influencing people.
So I address all of them. I'm friends with almost all of them.
Simo, 20 home runs on the year. He's now 4 away from the all-time record set by who? Who holds the single-season UT home run record that almost assuredly will be broken by Christian Moore and perhaps Blake Burke and perhaps Billy Amick as well? 865-288-3131 if you have an answer to that. Winner, the correct answer, gets 2 tickets to the game, which starts in about 3 hours. So it's a little bit of a late scramble here, but wouldn't you love to go sit out underneath the evening sky drinking a cold beverage and watching Tony Vitello and the boys lay waste to hapless Missouri, who brought this on themselves with their insolent behavior last year in Como and over the years towards one Anthony Vitello.
He was fired up after the game, talking about guys not being quite as focused as so we, you know, just went 10-1 league game at home,
that
six
is
home
not
runs.
Appropriate behavior, okay?
And he's just he's
what happened? Guys goofing off in the dugout?
I don't know. He said, maybe lack of focus is the wrong word, but not being the best version of themselves. I mean, 10-1 was not enough last night for Tony Vitello. Like you said, he wants blood, scalps, corpses after this series.
I kind of like it.
Jesus.
I like it. It's almost reminiscent of Saban in a way, right? Saban would bludgeon somebody, some directional school, 60-0, and then he'd be in the press conference talk about, well, you know, we had the third stringers out there gave up a nonsense field goal.
Yeah.
And, we just don't have it right now, and people want to crown us, but we're just not really good.
It's not Georgia Southern, but he talked about the Georgia Southern game in that one press conference that ran through our
like bleep from a through a goose
through a tin can
through a tin can through a tin horn
or tin horn one tin, of them
yeah,
which, something
I
like
really
that
know what it's
that
a means, tin horn yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird, never heard of it before.
That's a like an old curly kind of
I don't know tin horn.
Went through crap like a tin horn.
So, speaking of Saban, he was on the draft last night.
It's pretty good.
Admitting to tampering with the cornerback out of Toledo, basically.
Quinion.
He doesn't care. He's out of the game.
What are they going to do? Is he going
to
admit
to
doing that
to
next season?
I hope he tells on himself a little more, validates some of our accusations over the years.
He was good, and then Belichick was good. Did you guys see him telling Randy Moss stories on the Pat McAfee broadcast?
I didn't see any of that, no.
And people act so surprised that Bill Belichick is good on TV and a great storyteller. And it's like, you know that that wasn't really his real personality. You know he wasn't trying to charm anybody.
Right, right.
When he's up there at a press conference at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning when he's been up all night watching Bengals film and
we're on to Cincinnati
getting ready for a ball game, you know that when he understands that it is his role to entertain and be informative out there, that just like he is good at winning football games, he's probably going to be good at that too.
Well, I've seen a bunch of video. Like I love the Edelman videos. Like his show where he tells those stories, but like Randy Moss and all those guys that played for him, they all talk about how he's a really funny dude. Kind of scary, but funny.
Evidently, he's going to be a, quote, recurring guest on the Manning cast this year.
I want Peyton to ask him about what he did to the – you remember the year he dumped like 2 feet of water and let the grass grow out like to a foot long?
Sure, there'll be some good banter between those two.
And hopefully at this point, you know, he's not afraid to
Bill,
share
you want
the
to
truth.
Admit what you did.
Did you bug our locker room? Yes or no?
I know you did.
Did you have the feed of my helmet thing in your headphones during the ball game?
Did you instruct your players to interfere and hold on every single play until they got caught?
But it sounds like Peyton and what was the OC at Indy, Tom like they would talk. It was almost like, the Princess Bride, where they're like eight levels deep in what they're saying. But I know you know, and you know that I know that you know that that
a dizzying intellect, truly.
Yeah, that they were talking. They were probably talking in code over whatever he's saying, or hearing in his head. You know, in
that
his helmet.
That I will actually watch. I'll watch Bill Belichick on the Manning cast. I mean,
sure.
As long as it's not. Well, didn't he and Saban do something else for the national championship game? People said it was kind of boring.
I don't recall that.
I thought there was it was like a Manning cast, like coaching cast or something like that. But I'd like to see, because those two guys together, I mean, I'm sure they can talk ball.
That's way too dry.
They need like a, maybe not a heel, but they need a funny man to kind of get them
like
going.
McAfee. Yeah.
Yeah, McAfee.
Or Peyton.
Or Peyton,
Eli.
Somebody
yeah.
that will ask him just point blank, hey, you know, did you have our locker room bugged?
All right, we're going to take a quick break right here. Still no answer on this trivia question. It is a little bit difficult. It's a it's a name that, quite frankly, I'm surprised Tucker got it after. Well, but you needed some hints.
I did hear one hint, and I kind of assumed that's who it was. So.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll give a hint here. The all-time single-season home run record at Tennessee, Simo is almost assuredly about to break it. Who holds it? Pair tickets to the game tonight up for grabs. It is somebody from the late 90s era Vol. See if that narrows it down a little bit. These are difficult, man. You got to be a real fan, or you got to be willing to Google, work on the internet to find this one. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. When we continue, more draft reaction. The Titans, just when you get rid of one Bammer, you bring in another one. Derrick Henry thought, okay, we won't have to have the...
Hey, that worked out pretty well.
It worked out fine, but it's... It always felt a little bit weird to be cheering on a Bammer, and now we don't have to deal with that anymore, except for the fact that we do.
We definitely do.
So, more draft recap, plus Hoops Portal Madness winding down for Tennessee. It's just heating up for everybody else, but... The picture in pretty clear focus for Rick Barnes and company. Still four spots available, but it feels like two of them are more or less spoken for, that they have a pretty good idea what they might do with the remaining two as well. We'll go over that again with you when we continue. It is The Drive, more Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, wrapping up hour number one of the program. Coming up in hour number two, our old friend Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone, stops by. We'll get his thoughts on J.C. Latham headed to the Titans and what Tennessee might be looking at doing the rest of the weekend in the NFL draft. Then coming up, hour number three, Logan Quinton of the 920 podcast by to talk Tennessee baseball with us, the Volunteers trying to put their stamp on it and lock up the series win tonight against Missouri. We got a pair of tickets to that one up for grabs, and I believe Bobby has our trivia question answered. Bobby, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, what's up, Bobby? You want to go to the game tonight?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, man. Who's the record we're chasing here? Who holds the all-time Tennessee home run single-season record?
I think it was Mr. Cortez, Sonny Cortez.
Hey, there you
bing,
go.
Bing, 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 bing.
Attaboy. That's a hard one, man. Sonny Cortez, not the first name that comes to mind when you think of all-time Tennessee sluggers. But then again, we haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this stuff until the last 4 or 5 years. So, yeah, Cortez had 24 in 1998. You got two guys tied with 22, Trey Lipscomb 2 years ago in 2022, Cody Haughn in 2009, and Simo now tied with Chris Burke in 2001, Todd Helton in 1995, and old Chuck Barklift from 1980 with 20 home runs. And I think Simo's got a great chance at breaking that record. So, cool stuff. Bobby, hang right there. We appreciate it. Anything else you want to add before we get those tickets to you?
No, I just appreciate the show, and my son and I look forward to enjoying the game tonight.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah, man, take your boy and enjoy the ball game on us. Hang right there, Bobby. We'll get those prizes to you. Some interesting – that 2022 team has one, two, three, five, four guys like in the top 10 on the single-season home run list. You've got Lipscomb in second with 22. You've got Lipschitz in seventh with 19. You've got Jordan Beck at eighth with 18. And then how about this? Also tied at eighth with 18, Yoriela Ortega.
Really?
Really? Second baseman. I think Bear called him El Jefe.
El Jefe, the boss.
Oh, okay. I don't think I knew that's what that meant.
Griffin Merritt from last year also had 18 to lead the team.
He had 18 last year? Wow. Guess I didn't realize he was that high up the board.
He was kind of an all or nothing guy, man. Yeah, not a yeah. lot of doubles and triples from Griffin Merritt. There's a lot of long balls.
But though. He did hit a few timely ones. Was he? I think he had the walk off against Vanderbilt, if I'm not mistaken. Like he hit some important ones.
He also hit the walk off in the game I went to against Mississippi State.
Every one of those rain. Guys, even the guys that weren't, you know, down at the end of the order, all the way to the bottom of that order. Just about every one of them came up with a big-time hit at some point or another that year.
So how many does Burke have right now?
14 was what we said, right?
Let me double check.
You think he's got another 10 or so left in him this year?
Blake Burke, 14.
I mean, he could be right there.
He really could.
I think it's going to get hard for these guys. I think they're going to start seeing it. Well, the pitching's going to get better, obviously, as you get into the postseason. But pitchers are not going to just be real – generous.
May not auto walk them, but throw them four pieces of junk, see if they can get them swinging, get ahead in the count type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amick's at 13 or 14, right?
16.
Whew.
So imagine if he hadn't had the 3 weeks off.
Yeah, right.
Dylan Dreiland, a quiet 15.
A quiet 15.
Where's Tears smacking at?
14 also.
We could have five guys up
hit
there.
20, yeah.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Where's
pretty
Stark
awesome.
At?
Didn't you just ask me this? Oh, no, you asked for his – I want to make sure I get that. Five. Five for Stark. Obviously, one for Peoples.
Off to a great start. 865-288-3131. You want to get in, talk some Tennessee baseball with us here this afternoon. Looking forward to getting Lucas's thoughts on the Latham pick and just how that's being received in Nashville. I feel like – If the Titans hadn't had such bad luck recently with their first round selections, I don't think people would – I'm not going to say they wouldn't bat an eye, but I don't think there would be as much trepidation about this pick
anxiety,
as
yeah.
there has
yeah.
been in Titans land.
I mean, at least he's not crippled. We took that one guy.
That is true.
It was. I'm not being ugly. I mean, he had a massive back.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't draft somebody with major back problems coming out of college.
And who was the kid from Georgia that
Isaiah Wilson?
Oh, that was.
Well, he wanted to be a rapper.
Who interviewed that guy?
He didn't
guy.
Want to play football.
No, he
that will be the narrative if it doesn't work out. It's like, well, what would you expect from the franchise that drafted Isaiah Wilson? That drafted a cornerback coming off of like back and knee surgeries and all that stuff. That drafted Treylon Burks, traded AJ Brown. That
and I'm sure. Did we talk about his deal? By the way,
we have not. But whew, I saw that
got a nice bag.
Glad we let him go for pickles and peanuts. That was a good move.
So Amon-Ra was the highest paid receiver for about what 18 hours?
Something like that. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of analysis in these wide receiver deals that basically says, hey, like the Titans did good business getting Calvin Ridley for what they got him
yeah,
on
is yeah.
for, I think, a four-year deal at peanuts compared to what these other wide receivers who are, you know, I don't think Ridley is just as good, but not far off.
I think it's got more to the cheap prices because – Ridley decided to place a bet.
I think it all kind of worked suspended. Out. Like, he gets the year off. He goes to Jacksonville. Not a bad year, but mm-hmm. doesn't exactly explode. But that's also because Jacksonville's offense last year wasn't very good. Trevor Lawrence had a little bit of a dip. I don't know if he'll be A.J. Brown, but there's a chance he comes in and is very, very good. Again, assuming you can protect Will Levis.
Well, Eastman, next question. One thing we haven't talked about, what do we do at 38?
I don't know.
Great question for Lucas Panzeca.
Sixth pick of the day. I'm looking wide receiver. What do you think, Tuck?
Receiver's good. I think you have to upgrade at linebacker at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know where you do that, either second or third round. I feel like those have to be the two now that you've already got your answer at tackle. If we didn't draft a tight end last night, we're not drafting one. At least until like the fifth or sixth round.
But
not
safety.
Expecting him to play.
I've seen some cornerback projections.
Corners.
Okay.
Which is interesting because you just, you know, the Snead trade and you've got
Chidobe.
A Dwoozy or whoever from Cincinnati. But he's 29. and Snead has the knee thing. So the thinking is, if and cornerbacks were not prioritized last night, so Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, a couple of the big names still on the board, and there's some thinking that if the Titans had those guys, either of those guys graded as a potential first-round selection, and they're still on the board at 38,
I'll take them.
That you might pull the trigger there.
Who would you rather have? I'd rather have McKinstry.
Why? You got something against white corners?
No.
You a little corner racist?
We played against both of them.
Yeah, we torched them, torched them all.
We torched McKinstry last year.
You can't base your you can't base your NFL
it's
draft team
Friday.
Selection.
You know why I don't want Cooper DeJean.
You can't base your NFL team's draft selection over what your college team did to them in head-to-head competition.
One thing that I just thought of now that you mentioned Cooper DeJean,
he didn't play that game, did he?
No, he did not. But he's one heck of a return man as well. Punt returner has been lacking for quite some time with the Titans.
Did Kool-Aid not return punts for Bama too?
He did.
Okay.
That's why I think either one of those could be good.
Would that be too many Bammers, though, taking McKinstry?
I didn't want to say it out loud. But
who else? What other corners are there? Tucker, since you were man in the war room last night.
Well, a lot of them got taken.
You want best DBs available?
Tyrion Arnold, I didn't recognize him without Jalin Hyatt running unmolested 10 yards behind him.
Williams said last night that if the Jaguars were to have taken Tyrion Arnold, he would have thrown his TV out the window.
Who said that?
William. Apparently doesn't Overtime like that
Bill?
Pick at all. Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Tyrion, he was number two. That's him.
Oh, that was three. Tyrion Arnold was three. Two is Caleb Downs.
Who's he? He got drafted, didn't he? Who's he playing for?
Downs?
Or is he still?
No, he's still in college. That's the one that went to Ohio State.
Ohio State. The kid that was on his knees and you can see in the picture.
He was a freshman last year. You're all over the place.
I'm asking who was on the ground.
Oh,
that was Tyrion Arnold.
No, that's DeMarco Helms that was on the ground. He was drafted the year earlier.
Tyrion Arnold's the other guy in the picture. There's two Alabama guys in the picture.
We torched all of them, man. We just roasted
them. One was on his knees like praying.
That's Helms.
Please fall down.
And then the other one was Tyrion. Yeah, the other guy chasing me. He's out of that picture.
Helms. That's DeMarco Helms.
Poor DeMarco Helms.
The Giants. If the Giants can get a quarterback, they've got, what, Neighbors on one side and Jalen on the other?
See, I feel bad for Malik Neighbors. Not the Giants, Malik Neighbors.
Yeah.
Because he's got
bad situation.
Daniel Jones throwing to him.
And a lot of pressure. I mean, a great receiver from LSU going to the Giants. Big shoes to fill from what Beckham did up there.
We could circle back to it. What quarterbacks are left?
Spencer Rattler is the top available quarterback. That's why the Raiders didn't draft him.
How funny it would be if that goofy guy ends up being the one.
Yeah.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. Tucker's top four at four coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.